Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well in this extreme heat. If anyone is listening from anywhere else in the world, you probably think it's all we ever talk about in the UK. But you know, it's a bit unusual for us to get these kind of temperatures. It's actually mad hot. And it seems terrible to whinge about it. But actually, the truth is, I don't like the heat that much. I find it, I can't get anything done. It's just a bit exhausting. Anyways, I hope you've had a good week. I had a wonderful weekend last weekend. We had a day for our sober coaches where we did some great stuff together, and then Sober by the Sea, where the weather was kind but not ridiculous. So that was really lovely. Michael came over. Michael, happy with that, the hooch. So it was really lovely to see him. Don't forget, if you're interested in one of those events, we've got another one coming up in August. We also have Family Constellations Sunday, 17th of July. And then just a heads up for anyone who is interested in the sober coach training, that's going to be happening at the end of September and then continuing onwards. So just drop me a message if that's something of interest. I just wanted to share with you a little post that popped up in our Sober Club Facebook group, because I thought this kind of sums up so much of what happens for people when they, you know, when they first stop drinking. Because particularly when the weather is nice, oh my God, what a trigger the sunshine is for people who haven't been sober long. It's almost as though, wow, that's it, sun's out, need to get to the pub garden or need to crack open a bottle at midday. It does something odd to us when the sun comes out. It's such strong associations with booze. And yet, actually, the reality of it is, it's really bad for you to drink when it's hot. You know, I mean, it's hot to the extent that if you've got any kind of health considerations, you've actually really got to be careful with this kind of heat. So adding in alcohol to the kind of dehydration possibilities is not a good idea. Anyway, someone wrote on our Facebook group, I'm starting a new job in September and just met with my colleagues. We had a team day and dinner, so I thought it'd be really good for me to meet up with new people in the social environment. They clearly had no idea of just how much of a trigger this would be for me, but I'm so happy to report that I navigated it all, and I navigated my elephant into the path I wanted to follow. That's a reference to my book where I talk about the unconscious mind being like the elephant that wants to go in a certain direction. She says, alcohol-free drinks in the pub where they did naughty by the glass. How cool is that? And then some fizzy water with the meal. At one point, someone asked me if I didn't drink. I hesitated for just a microsecond, and then I said, no, I don't. I'm so proud of myself, as I've fallen for this wine witch trap so many times. I wasn't even driving, so it was a massive win. That irritating voice can just do one. It was around a lot. But you know what? I think I'm getting there. Isn't that brilliant? That just really sums up that kind of thought process that we go through. And nothing will have gone wrong with that scenario. No one will think any the less of her for not drinking. They'll probably be secretly massively impressed. So, you know, just be authentic. Be who you are. If you've made this decision for you, and I really hope you have, then go for it. You know, absolutely. Don't be swayed just because other people are drinking any more than you'd be, you know, swayed by someone else eating a burger at a barbecue if you're a vegetarian. It's just not your thing, right? So no need to feel triggered just because the sun's out. I know it's easy to say, but you know, keep playing it forward. That's the trick, isn't it? Really, today's guest. I thought I would. I did an interview with this guy for the other radio show that I do for UK Health Radio, and then I thought, hold on a minute, maybe not everyone will hear that, and there is a section of this interview that you have to hear. So I thought I'd play this clip just recently. I mean, I know I've said lots of times that I've been, you know, working in the kind of area of natural health and well-being for years and years and years and years. And you all know that the missing link for me was the alcohol piece, you know, the fact that I just was stepping around that damn great elephant in the room. using the word elephant in a different sense. And yet, you know, I thought that there wasn't much I didn't know really about supplements and good nutrition. And in the last few weeks, I honestly feel like I've you know, my mind has been blown, really. I've kind of scaled up a few notches. And it's all because of this awesome guy, Clive de Carle. I just think his work is absolutely amazing. He has really done the research on the supplements and the minerals. And yes, it is easy to say, well, you know what, if we have a good diet, we won't really need anything. Just eat well and you don't need anything. I just don't believe that anymore, you know, partly because, you know, we don't have the soil we used to have. So unfortunately, we do have, you know, we do need some supplementation. That's actually the bottom line. So I personally am using these supplements from Clive. So I thought I can't not share this with you. It's so fascinating. And if you do want to buy any of these supplements, I've got a little affiliate link. I'm completely transparent about that. So I have like a little link that you can click on. You can buy your supplements. I get a few pennies back and I'm putting that straight into our Sober Club Give Back Fund. And that's where we can help people who may need some kind of coaching or whatever it might be and they don't have the funds. So, you know, it's kind of a win-win-win. But anyway, if you look at the show notes, you'll find the information. You'll find the link to buy the supplements. If you go to thesoberclub.com, you'll see an article there about supplements. And again, my other website, imperfectlynatural.com. I'm talking about it all the time because I really believe it's made a massive difference to me over the last few weeks. I've had just a few little things going on and just been able to hook up with Clive and hear some of this stuff and use his supplements. I really think it's made a massive difference. So enjoy the interview. Clive de Carle is a health educator. He has been doing this work for a long time. He really knows his stuff. So we're just going to go straight into a clip from the interview.
I realized that there are only a few things, a few minerals, vitamins, essential fats, and amino acids that we actually need. And, you know, 10 years ago, I had a website which had over 100 different supplements on it. My current website, I've slimmed it right down.
Yeah, I love the fact that you have made it really, really accessible because you're right. And sorry to interrupt you, but I think this is so important because over the years I've been kind of working in this field, I've always found it just exhausting to try to determine which supplements you really need. And if you're not careful, you can end up taking 50 or 60 different supplements four times a day. You're just going to be rattling. No one can really do that. You know, it's exhausting, isn't it?
Well, exactly. So I worked out that there are about 10 core supplements that everybody needs to consider at various stages in their life. Mm. Magnesium is so huge because everybody is stressed right now in the world, you know, more than we should be. And to cope with stress, we burn through magnesium. So if you've burnt through your magnesium reserves, what might happen is you might start getting one of the following. You might start getting twitches around the eyes. You might get cramps. You know, it could be menstrual cramps, could be cramps in your leg, could be cramps in your foot, any type of cramping. It could be that you're getting anxious and panic attacks. It could be that your heart is beating in an uneven manner. You've got atrial fibrillation. It could be that you're constipated. Could be that you can't sleep properly. Could be that you've got hiccups or get hiccups. There are so many things that magnesium controls, i.e. pain. Anybody who's in pain, they've got muscle aches, tendon aches, joint aches, anybody who's scheduled for a hip operation or that type of thing, you've got back pain, I can almost guarantee that 95% of us will be low on magnesium.
Where do we get our magnesium from, as it were, naturally? Well, or have we just got the amount we've got, as it were?
But we used to get it from eating food.
Yeah, from the soil and stuff.
Yes. I mean, you know, I had an organic farm for 10 years, years back, and I observed the farming practices of my neighbours compared to mine and the how we dealt with insects and how they did. We had to use much more labour-intensive ways to deal with insects. I remember one year, this farm was in Spain, we had these flying insects coming out from holes in the ground. And the old farmer who was working with me said, oh, that's simple. We take some of the olive oil that we make and we get a little dropper and we drop a drop or two of olive oil down every hole in the field. Yes, it took a long time, but we wiped it out without any need for pesticides or anything. And our soil had never had a chemical on it ever. Mm. So the soil was perfect. It was full of bugs and, you know, it was full of life. You know, the whole place was full of life. And that meant that I never had to supplement while I was there, even though I had done when I was in England, because the quality of the food we were eating was very, very high. Yeah. We were getting all the magnesium we needed from the uptake from the soil of the plants.
Mm. But of course now, even if we're eating a really healthy diet, that, as you say, there's a real issue with the soil, isn't there, intensive farming.
It's terribly unfortunate, but it really has been decimated, you know, which is having an effect on the wildlife. I mean, let me give you an example. You know, I'm 68. When I was young, if I drove for more than half an hour, three quarters of an hour in the springtime, I would have to stop at a petrol station, get out some squirty stuff because just water couldn't get the insects off the headlights or the windscreen. It's like Armageddon on your windscreen.
Yeah, we don't have that now, do we?
It's gone. Like 99% of the insects that used to be on your windscreen, you know, I used to have to stop to clean the headlights because it dimmed at night because of all the dead insects. So it's a wipeout. That's partially because they've destroyed the soils. You know, the whole cycle has been smashed to bits. So, you know, what we need to do if we happen to be lucky enough to have a garden or even a balcony is to start growing food and get back into that cycle that our ancestors knew about of survival.
Mm. So how would we do that then? How could we, you know, just diverting for a moment, I'll come back to the magnesium. But, you know, this is something just for so many years, of course I know this, but I'm just nervous of it. I honestly don't know where to start. I really don't know where to start. So I did once try and plant a little bit of a garden when the kids were young. And the rabbits, you know, beautiful as they are, came and ate the lot within the first 5 minutes. So that really put me off. So now I'd much rather do something on a really small basis. So I quite like the idea of a pot or a bag or something just to give me a bit of confidence. So where could I start?
Well, I like the no dig gardening idea.
I like the idea of that too.
So, I mean, how many people listen to this, for instance, have got a small patch of lawn in the back garden, which is a pain to mow. And they can't eat it, it's just there, and well, they just accept it, they've always had it, it's always there. But what if you got a lot of cardboard boxes from the supermarket? They throw them away, particularly in the mornings, and you cover all the grass, and you know, it could be nettles, anything, just cover it in cardboard, cut some holes in the cardboard, and place a potato in each hole.
Well, an actual potato,
yes.
Sorry, you're going to have to spell this out because I told you I really don't know what I'm doing here. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm with you so far.
Potato, so the idea is that the cardboard, yeah, cardboard kills the grass and the weeds. But, you know, sometimes this time of year when it's been raining a lot, usually the ground is easier to dig. But there's some periods where it's rock hard, really hard to dig. And that's, you know, this is the no dig gardening method. Yeah. So what you do is you lay the potatoes on the ground, with the cardboard on top, and then if you can get some, if you've got a straw bale or two and piled up straw bales, unwrap, pile up straw on top to a couple of feet deep and then water it, what will happen is that the potatoes will send the roots down and break up the soil for you. They do your digging for you. Okay. And at the end of, you know, a couple of months, whenever you want to start harvesting, then most of the potatoes are actually on top. You don't have to dig them up because, particularly if the ground was hard to begin with, they're mostly on top, and you can just use your fingers to get the other ones out. So one potato becomes 10 or 20 or something like that. And if you pick them early, they're new potatoes. Pick them late, they're old potatoes. Another way to do it is to make get some chicken wire and make a chicken wire barrel, right, as high as you like. And then you put a layer of soil, a layer of potatoes, and a layer of straw. Then another layer of soil, layer of potatoes, layer of straw, upwards a few layers high, then you water it. Now, the barrel now becomes a green barrel where it sprouts out at every angle. And when you're ready to harvest them, you start at the top and you've got new potatoes and you work your way layer by layer till you get to the bottom with old potatoes. So there are, if you look up no dig gardening,
yeah,
you know, there are people who don't want to dig, basically.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
And then if you've got potatoes, if you plant, let's say you plant onions and carrots next to them, the carrots deter the onion flies and the onions deter the carrot flies.
Ah.
You know, companion gardening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love it. Oh, fascinating stuff. So back on the magnesium then, all things being equal, given that, you know, the soil isn't great and stress and everything else makes us depleted. And as you say, we're not getting enough because our diets are changed. I mean, there's not a lot of people who don't eat enough, you know, sort of fruit and veg anyway. So, you know, if you're eating a highly processed diet, you're going to be even lower in the magnesium. Is there anything we need to know about supplementation? I mean, is there, you know, what would be the limit we should take? Because I think most of us, if we think about taking magnesium, in reality, we think every now and then we remember and we take a capsule if we remember. And then we've probably been told by somebody at some point, you can't have magnesium without calcium. So we probably buy calcium tablets as well. And then we forget and the problems are still there.
Right. So 99% of people do not need calcium. If you're supplementing with calcium, you may want to seriously consider stopping, because you may well be doing more harm than good. With magnesium, you know, there's this thing, the RDA, the recommended daily allowance.
Mm.
Now, this was worked out, I think, in the Second World War. What is the absolute minimum you need to give the soldiers so they don't die? You know, enough vitamin C so they don't get scurvy, that kind of stuff. It wasn't the ideal amount.
Mm.
So the ideal amount of magnesium for women is 380 milligrams and 400 milligrams for men. So the average capsule may have, let's say, 500 or 600 milligrams of a magnesium salt in it. So it might be magnesium citrate, it might be whatever type
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the different types, yeah.
But the amount of elemental magnesium in one 500 milligram capsule may only be, let's say, 100 or mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So people look at it and think, well, let's say they read the RDA, they might think that one 500 gram capsule is what they need. But in actual fact, they might need 3 or 4 to get to the RDA.
Right.
Now, if somebody's got arthritis or they've got serious pain, serious calcifications, they may need up to, for a short time, assuming their kidneys are in good condition, maybe up to 12 capsules a day of the right stuff, not the wrong stuff, 12 capsules a day for a short time so that their depression ends. I've had people who went from suicidal to not suicidal in 36 hours.
Wow.
Right, with this sort of dosage.
So there's no sort of contraindications then that people need to be worried about?
Only if you've got a serious kidney issue would you not want to do high amounts.
Right.
But the body's self-regulating. Mm. You take too much at once or too much over a day, the body self-regulates.
To the bathroom,
straight to
the
bathroom.
Same as with vitamin C, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a bit of a game changer for many of the people who will be listening to this, because lots of the people listening to this will have stopped drinking, or they're in the process of trying to stop drinking. They were never at rock bottom, but they were drinking more than they wanted to for years and years, you know, as I was, just sort of caught in the alcohol trap. And of course, when you stop, everything needs to recalibrate. You know, you've got all kinds of stuff going on, your neurotransmitters, you've got all the mindset piece, but you've also got the physical piece. And I know when I stopped for about, gosh, it must have been for at least 4 or 5 weeks, I was having just about every symptom you mentioned there, the leg cramps, the sort of feeling panicky and anxious, everything you mentioned there, aches, pains for seemingly no reason. I mean, obviously the alcohol had been masking it before, hadn't it? So, you know, and of course I couldn't sleep. And it's something that my clients say to me all the time. Okay, I stopped drinking 6 weeks ago, 3 months ago, I still can't sleep. And I'm guessing you're going to tell me that this could be the key. The magnesium could be the key here.
Well, it's one of them. There are two other keys for people who want to come off alcohol. One of them is the mineral selenium.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about this. And what's interesting there, just to butt in again, is that every time I read about selenium, you know, what I hear is, oh, be careful, because too much is dangerous. So you end up taking none.
Yes. So the version that I recommend is non-toxic.
Okay.
And that's an important factor.
Yes, of course.
The problem is with supplements is that there are two types of supplement manufacturers, the ones that care and the ones that don't.
Yes.
Right? And I would suggest 90% of the supplement companies out there have actually been bought out by companies you wouldn't like.
So there's just loads of fillers and stuff in there, basically, and crap that you don't need. And not
they'll
much
choose
of the
ingredients that won't work. I mean, if you look for the main magnesium, the chances are it'll be magnesium oxide, which is the one type you don't want.
Right.
It really is, but it's way cheaper than some of the other types.
Yes.
So they're going to use it. And then people say, well, look, I tried magnesium. I said, which type? Oxide. I said, did it work? No. How many did you take? Two. Or they say they took three and they got diarrhea, because magnesium oxide is good for giving you diarrhea, but it's not much good for anything else, because it's not bioavailable properly.
Yeah.
So I like a blend of about four different magnesiums in capsules. I don't like tablets so much because they've got the binders and the fillers and the glues to hold them together. So as pure a capsule, I ended up buying a couple of encapsulation machines so that we can make our own products cleanly, because two ways to make products. For instance, you can run the machine fast, but to do that, you need to add slippery powders to make it run through quickly, or you can run it slower, and then you don't need the slippery powders. So we try in all cases to, even if we do have to use a slippery powder, we'll use something natural rather than something unnatural. Mm. It's quite an art to making supplements.
I bet it is. Yeah. And we'll put the link to your supplements. So you were telling me about selenium. So
yes,
back on what we were saying about selenium. So it's in a drop form or capsule form?
This is liquid in drop form.
Okay.
And a normal dose would be something like maybe one drop every 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. You don't need a lot of it.
Okay.
However, I've had various people who've taken much higher doses for 3 days. And I've had people, about 40 years ago, they were using this particular type of selenium, which is generally not available anywhere, hardly. It's been sort of lost. To get people off methadone and heroin in New York. Wow. Massive trial.
Wow. What would be the reason? Why does it work?
How it works is that, let's say you're drinking red wine every day, and let's make the assumption that is to some degree a toxin. Mm. So the body says, there's this toxin coming in every day, so the body will do its best to make antitoxins to cancel it out and stop your liver being damaged or whatever it is. So most people sort of go cold turkey and they stop. Now, a serious alcoholic, as you know, is going to get the DTs, or whatever.
Yeah.
But you can turn that off with selenium. Selenium has the incredible effect of turning off the antitoxins.
So is what you're saying then that, I mean, because we know that when it comes to coming off alcohol, we have a percentage that is physical and a percentage that is what's going on emotionally, of course. But am I right in thinking that what you're saying is, if you were to have something like the selenium, it would make the miserable effects less? So you're not going to crave something to stop the hideous feeling as much.
It's one of the factors.
Yeah.
Another factor is amino acids.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
If we look at 30% of the population, and I include myself in it, 30% of us are addicts or have the potential to be addicts. We can easily, I'm probably more of a chocolate addict, but we can all do that. So it turns out 30% of us don't have the full quotient of dopamine receptors in the brain that the other lucky 70% have.
Yes, which is why we're seeking it all the time. Yeah.
Well, exactly. But what fills the gap can be the essential amino acids, i.e. the ones you have to get from outside, your body can't make them. I mean, let's assume that an awful lot of people who have a problem with drugs or alcohol probably aren't feeding themselves as well as they should be.
Absolutely. I was just about to say that. It's so important, isn't it, to get the good nutrition right.
So there are various supplements which are absolutely key to putting those missing ingredients back. I mean, we talked about magnesium.
Yeah.
Vitamin C is crucial. Anybody who's got any sort of thing that you might catch, needs to realize that vitamin C is super important. You combine vitamin D, vitamin C, bit of zinc, maybe magnesium. Then there are a few other things.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that. I love the fact that you've really, you've kind of curated the information, haven't you? So that it's a bit more accessible for people, because you're right. You can go off on a tangent, you know, even if you think you know quite a lot about this stuff, you know, on that note, we can't ignore, you know, how our mind affects our body as well. And I'm guessing you would, you know, you would say that, you know, having some form of whatever it is, whether it's relaxation, whether it's meditation, obviously getting out into nature, is also a hugely important part of this.
It's massive. We're supposed to be, I think, sort of naked-ish, barefoot, out in the sunshine, eating wild food. You know, that's what we're supposed to be doing. But the power of the mind is extraordinary. My favourite example was a few years ago. At that point, I was working with the spooky frequency devices, like Rife frequency generators, and I wired up four of them, and this guy came to me, and he'd got eyesight issues, poor eyesight, total brain fog, and he was in pain. So an hour later, he's my happiest client, totally fixed, right? His eyesight's clear, his brain's clear, pain's gone, and I glance over, and I've forgotten to turn the machines on.
Wow.
It was all him. All him. Yeah. That was one of my best results.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love Dr. David Hamilton. I'm sure you're aware of his work, but, you know, he talks about the placebo effect, you know, the power of the mind. And that's how he got into doing the work he does, because he was working for a pharmaceutical company. And he found that, you know, he was mixing his little atoms and all the rest of it. And they would do their trials to give the same number of the drug to the people with the, you know, they all had the same issue. And if, let's say, you know, 80 people reported that felt better from the drug, 79 reported they felt better, who'd only had the placebo. Yeah. And that's what got him thinking, hold on a minute, there's something else here. It's because they had the expectancy that they would get better.
One of the problems is we're using negative thoughts in our brain.
Yeah.
You know, and we really, because I do believe that what we think happens.
Absolutely.
You know, we're creating a joint reality.
Our thoughts create our reality, yeah.
Well, they do. And so most of us actually need to take ourselves under control. You know, I used a post-it note. I realized some 15 years ago that one of the mistakes I was making was I was making assumptions about things. And I was running my life on an assumption rather than a fact. So I put this little note which said, do you know what you're thinking is true?
Yeah.
Or is it an assumption?
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
Well, it worked for me because I was living a more miserable life because I was assuming it was all going to go to shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Whereas, you know, we can literally ask, is that actually true? And stand and be the wise guru actually from that place. Yeah, completely. So, anyways, I could obviously talk to you for absolutely hours. Is there anything else that you would like to add, you know, particularly for people who are, you know, in these early stages of stopping drinking, when everything has to kind of get itself back into some semblance of order?
Well, you know, when I was doing the hypnosis, I used to help a lot of people come away from addictions. And if I was doing hypnosis, I would have them imagine themselves with all their mates, and they're all drinking and they're in a crowded room, but there's you not drinking and looking really happy, or drinking some water.
Yeah, exactly.
Pre-think what you're going to do in a difficult situation when you're pressured by the friends. What are you going to have that thought out already? Oh, actually, I've brought my bottle of sparkling water.
Yeah. Or great alcohol-free drinks. Yeah.
Whatever works. I would say don't be scared of trying several supplements at once.
Wonderful. So, well, I could honestly genuinely talk to you for hours. You'll have to come back. We'll come back live, because I know there'll be probably lots of people have got questions and stuff. So maybe you could come back and do another interview for us. So I'll put those links down, and I really appreciate your time. Thank you for doing all the amazing work that you do. I absolutely love it. I love the fact that you're so passionate about this and just helping so many people. It's amazing.
Well, you know, I do it for fun. You know, there's not much more fun than somebody saying, you know, I'm not in pain anymore.
Yeah, like that, exactly. You
know, it's about as good as it gets. So, Lovely. I'm doing it for totally selfish reasons.
Thank you, Clive. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
So thank you, Clive. I know we'll have you back on the podcast at some point. And as I say, the link to buy those supplements, if you're willing to use my link, there's a little click back that goes back to fund a few bits and bobs in the Sober Club. So it's a win-win. It would be lovely if you wanted to do that. And the info is all in the show notes, or you can go to thesoberclub.com and click on the blog post, which is about supplements. Also, I meant to tell you that I'm the guest on a podcast this week with Tom Waller. He's actually a chiropractor, and he's interviewed me. It was a really interesting interview, quite fascinating, kind of a few different angles on there. So have a listen to that if you get a chance. Oh, and the other hot bit of news that I almost forgot to tell you, reminded myself because I mentioned Tom, is one of the speakers, and so am I, at another TEDx event. I mean, you know, I did my first one, liked it so much, thought I'd do it again. Most of you know my first TED talk was called Sobriety Rocks. Who knew? And, you know, there's something magical about TEDx events. There really is. If you've never been to one before and you can get to the event live, it's going to be in Doncaster on Saturday, 22nd of October. It'll be amazing to meet some podcast listeners. So check it out. But it's going to be very exciting. I'll reveal more in due course about what my talk will be and all of that stuff. And I'll probably have some kind of event in the lead up, and some of you will get a chance to hear it, because, you know, got to practice it, right? So that's my other bit of exciting news. So just a reminder then, Family Constellations is on July the 17th in Hertfordshire. It's such magical work. I do find it hard to describe, but please feel free to message me if you want a bit more info, and if your sort of interest is piqued on that one, because it's just amazing work, and I would love it if some of you wanted to come. You can come on your own. You don't have to be sober or even sober curious. It's just about looking at what's been going on in your life and whether you can kind of untangle some family dynamics or some personality stuff that's been kind of holding you back. So that was not the best explanation, but I've got a few blog posts about it. So make sure you check out thesoberclub.com. You know where we are if you want to join us as a member. I've also got a little buy me a coffee thing if you wanted to donate because you enjoy the podcast. I've got an awful lot of these podcasts now, and there's some really amazing guests in there. So you're very welcome to scroll back through the archives. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at Janie Lee Grace, and all the usual social medias. I hope you have a great week. Let me know how you're getting on. Always reach out and just share what's going on for you, because it's all about the connection, right? Enjoy the sunny weekend. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.